Blog Talk Radio.
On Friday, July the 16th. And today we're going to be chatting, as we like to do once a week. We'll be chatting with our friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. We're going to talk about, my original idea was to talk to George about the Democrats, you know, going out of Texas, and I guess they're in Washington, D.C., working very hard, from what I understand. So I wanted to talk to George a little bit about that, and we will talk about that whole issue. But a couple of hours ago, there was a huge bombshell regarding DACA. There's a judge here in Texas who once again, or not once again, but declared that DACA was unconstitutional or illegal, and therefore stopped all of the applications. I guess the ones that are already in will stay in. But the new ones, there won't be any more new ones. And I thought that was a pretty, pretty big story, and one that we will get into tonight as well with our friend George. So let me say hello to our friend George. And George, as always, give us a weather report from San Antonio.
Well, it's really, really pretty today. It was in the high 80s. We're still having a very, very strange, pleasant summer. It is. It's not been blistering hot. I don't think we've hit 100 in June or July yet, and it's been very, very pleasant. We've continued to have rain. We didn't have any rain today, but the past, past almost 14 days, we had rain every day, and so it's been very, very pleasant. We've got right now outside. It is 80 degrees.
Wow, that is nice. That is nice. We've had some higher temperatures than that. We've hit 100 a couple of times, but just for a little bit, not for 31 days like we did that one year where we had 100 degree temperatures every single day. I think that was back in 1980 or something like that. Well, George, we got a lot to get into today. As I said, I wanted to talk to you a great deal about the Texas Democrats flying out of state, but a big bombshell here in the evening, I guess early afternoon or late afternoon, a judge in Texas has declared that DACA is illegal or unconstitutional. So as a consequence, he stopped DACA. Basically, that's what he's done. DACA does not exist anymore. And I guess it doesn't impact the people who are already in. But I'm not sure the future of those people is very certain either if this goes to the Supreme Court. So what was your reaction? I mean, I was not expecting this today, George.
I wasn't either. Now, I am expecting it if it ever gets to the Supreme Court for them to knock it down and to declare it. I strongly believe that DACA is unconstitutional because it was created by executive order by a president. And when he did, he literally altered immigration law. He, in essence, has forbidden the people who are here illegally, whether they are young, whether they are old people who are here illegally, to be dealt with, to be detained, and to be deported.
Right.
So, you know, it patently is wrong. It's wrong. Only the Congress can change laws, and only Congress can, make a law that or change the status of an immigrant from illegal to legal.
That's right.
And this situation that we've got, I have always felt DACA was illegal. So, it's been confirmed. And I'm sure it's going to be challenged. I'm sure it's going to be challenged.
But where, George? Where are they? I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was having the same conversation with a reporter a couple hours ago. We were texting each other, and I asked them, well, where do they go from here? Because the only place they could, I'm not familiar with all the courts, but, you know, this guy is, he's an appeals court, I think he is.
Right, appellate court.
So, you know, he's saying it's illegal. The only option you have at this point, it seems to me, is to take it to the next judge in line, which would be the Supreme Court, unless I'm wrong, George.
That's exactly right. So I'm sure that it's going to go there. Now, whether or not, you know, my fear is that they won't deal with it. Because they'll say, like they did with Obamacare, that it's, it was created by Congress and let Congress deal with it. In this case, I don't think they're going to say that. I think they're going to say no, that president created it and the president can absolve it.
Right.
Or dissolve it, should I say. The president can dissolve it. Or hopefully, what they will say is that it's illegal, period.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, because with Obamacare, we talked about this a few weeks ago. With Obamacare, I think the Supreme Court was saying, look, don't ask us to do what the legislature should do.
What Congress should have done.
Yeah, this is up to Congress. But, you know, don't bring it up here and let us do what Congress will not do. So I think that was technically correct, even though, you know, we don't like Obamacare, but I thought the court was correct in their judgment. In this case, this was never a legislation. This was an executive order. But you know, you begin to think, George, a couple of things about DACA that I find fascinating, not so much DACA itself, but the timeline. Back in the spring of 2018, that would have been about 3 years, you know, 3 years, 3 months ago, President Trump went public and said that he was willing to legalize 2 million Dreamers, which is more than I thought there were, but let's say 2 million, and in exchange for having some kind of border security. In other words, he said to the Democrats, let's cut a deal. I'll go along with you on DACA or the Dreamers, and, you know, you give me some border security. I remember the very next day, the Dallas Morning News had an editorial saying to the Democrats, take it, it's a great deal, take it, DACA for border security. But the Democrats said, no, we're not going to do that. This was in the spring of 2018. And I think they didn't want to do it, George, because they didn't want to give Trump a victory. I really believe that. That's what it was. They didn't want to have a, you know, Dreamer ceremony at the Trump White House. So they basically threw the Dreamers under the bus and said, hey, wait there until we're ready for you. Well, now they're in this situation. And if you're a Dreamer, you have to wonder, why in the heck have I been supporting the Democrat Party for as long as I have, when they're never there for me when I need them, George?
That's right. You know, the Democrats have always been the party of false hope and false aspirations. I mean, it has. You know, the idea that somehow if you depend on the government that, you know, you're going to be able to live the American dream, and all that happens is the people become more and more dependent on the on the government rather than actually going after the American dream, that somehow the way that they view education is going to help you to lift yourself up, and all it does is create more ghettoized learning. It's, you know, I mean, that's the way they've always been. And this doesn't surprise me. The DACA recipients are playing politics themselves, and either they're being guided by fools or naive people, or they're just playing along with the Democrats. And the Democrats never have really had the interest of the DACA recipients in mind. They never have. They never have anybody's real interest unless it's their own, and their own interest is nothing but political power, and that's the end of it.
No, I think you're right. I mean, if you just look at the timeline, and you're a Dreamer, because I've spoken to Dreamers about this. I've had this conversation a few times that I've been on TV. I remember a few years ago I was on Telemundo and I was debating not debating so much. It was kind of a conversation about DACA, and there was a dreamer there, and we were talking about this. And I said to him during the break, I said, you're betting on the wrong horse. You're never going to get DACA from the Democrats. Because number one, you know, if you remember back in 2010, the DREAM Act went to the U.S. Senate. This was during the off, not the off session, but what are they, lame duck, I guess they call it, the lame duck session between the election and the new Congress. And the DREAM Act went to the Senate, and it failed because there were six Democrats who voted against it. Democrat from North Carolina, Democrat from West Virginia, that was, by the way, Manchin, the two Democrats from Montana at the time, and there was another one, too. And there were six of them that voted no on DACA, and that's why DACA couldn't get 60 votes and could never become, it could never be sent to President Obama for his signature. So, I mean, the Democrats let them down in the Congress. Then Obama signed, President Obama signed this executive order, you know, conveniently a few months before his reelection. And, you know, they never had an opportunity to codify it and actually make it into a law. They never did that. They never tried. And they more or less said, hey, we're just going to play the, you know, we're just going to sit out and hope for the best. Well, they didn't want to work with President Trump when I thought he made them a pretty good offer. The Dallas Morning News, our local newspaper, as I said before, was on the phone saying, I mean, was on their editorial saying, take the offer, take the offer. It's the best offer you're going to get. And now we are where we are, where I think it's hard for me to believe, where does DACA go from here? The only place it goes is the Supreme Court, George, and I wouldn't bet a lot of money on DACA in this Supreme Court. I think it goes down 5-4 or 6-3 in this Supreme Court, George.
I agree. I think, you know, again, the Democrats have taken a misstep. They continue to take missteps. They continue to think that somehow the United States, the public in the United States, is going to follow the lead of their socialist lead like other countries have historically. And, you know, I think they're being very bitterly disappointed, and therefore they're getting nastier. And this situation with DACA, again, it shows that they have another political miscalculation, and it's backfiring on them. And the question is, you know, how will the liberal news media cover for them? How will they spin it? Will conservatives have the ability to step forward and say, look, you know, they screwed it up because the facts are the facts.
Right.
You know.
Well, you're right.
Properly.
You're exactly right. So at this point, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. This is, Judge Hannum, if I remember the timeline, Texas and 20 other states had filed a lawsuit against DACA. That lawsuit did not get to the Supreme Court earlier this year because the Biden administration withdrew the case, I guess, or the presentation. They said we're not gonna follow up on it. Then so it sort of came back down, and I guess some here in Texas or somewhere else they went back to the judge and they said, hey, we still think it's unconstitutional, and the judge says, yeah, it is. And he writes an opinion and drops a bombshell in this whole case. I'm not sure what's going to happen to the people who are in, because if it goes to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court says it's unconstitutional, they may, you know, create an exception for the people who are already in. They may do that. But then Congress is going to have to come back and actually legalize these people. And, George, after the border crisis that we've seen, I don't see any mood in Congress for any kind of Democrat, any kind of immigration reform or DACA. I mean, I don't see any. If the Biden administration had not done on the border what they did, I would have said to you, maybe there is a chance of getting some Republicans to walk over and vote for a DREAM Act or some kind of immigration reform. At this point, it would be political suicide for any Republican to join the effort. So I don't see immigration reform happening. I don't see DACA happening. And I'm not going to say that these people are going to be deported, but they are going to stay illegal, which is what they were trying to avoid in the first place, George.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, if you look at Congress, I mean, again, they're going to be angry if they get a negative response from the court. They're going to be angry, and they're going to be start screaming again that the courts need to be expanded, that they need to be packed, all that good stuff. However, Congress itself needs to watch out, because I think that they're skating on very, very thin ice, particularly with you know, the politics, the hardline politics that they've been playing, and so there's a big danger that. You know, before long, not only will the courts be opposing them politically, but so will the Senate and the House.
That's right. No, as I said, I don't see how DACA at this moment can get 50 votes in the Senate. The Democrats have 50 votes, but I can assure you that Tester from Montana and Manchin from West Virginia are not voting for it, because they've already voted against it before. So they're not going to vote for it.
I think that they will, you know, that again, this miscalculation is going to really, really blow up in their face. And I would honestly hope and pray that DACA recipients and all people begin to recognize how dumb the politics are that are played by the Democrats.
I hope so. I hope so. I've told many of them face to face. I said, your only hope, and I remember this to a young man who I was on TV with, and during the break I told him, your only hope to be legalized and to have a dreamer-type program is to support Republicans, because they are the only ones that can do it for you. The Democrats cannot do it. And they're not going to do it because they want to keep you exactly where you are right now. They want to keep you
in. They want to constantly use it as a fighting tool rather than...
I told this young man face-to-face, the Democrats are not interested in immigration. They're not interested in fixing any of these problems. They just want the problem to sit there so they can use you politically. Well, I think I feel vindicated today, George, that I told that young man that, because hopefully he remembers the conversation that he and I had several years ago. We're going to take a little break, George. You were talking about angry people, and we're going to talk about some angry people on the other side, Democrats hiding in Washington. We'll be right back with our friend George. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, with our friend George Rodriguez. You know, George, you were talking about angry people, and there's a bunch of them in Washington, D.C. right now who left Texas, I'm not exactly what for, but they're in Washington, D.C. right now. I understand they're working very hard from what they're telling us, but the Democrats, of course, left Texas because they didn't want to vote for the voting law. The law that will pass eventually, and the governor will sign it. And today's Friday morning's Dallas Morning News editorial, and as everybody who knows me knows, I don't always agree with the Dallas Morning News. I think for the most part, they're a pretty decent newspaper as far as their editorials is. They used to be a lot more conservative than they are now, but, you know, every once in a while they write a wonderful editorial like the one that they wrote today, basically called Democrats Come Home. And the subtitle is, If Not for Texas, for Your Own Party's Sake. And basically, to sum it up, I don't want to read the whole thing. It's a good editorial. I hope if you were in the Dallas area, get yourself a copy of it, because it's really good. If you're outside, I guess you can get it on the Internet. But basically what the editorial is saying, George, is that the people of Texas understand that this is a little bit of a show that they're doing, and that they're not going to gain any more fans in Texas by hanging around with Twitter, the people who do Twitter, or taking pictures with Elizabeth Warren. That may be good for them personally, but it's not going to get them anywhere as far as winning elections in Texas. And I just, you know, I found this to be such an amazing editorial, basically telling the Democrats, come home, because you're not helping yourselves by being out of Texas. George, I thought this was a fantastic editorial. It reflected my feelings completely, George.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they have really done themselves a disservice. I don't know who their public relations people are, but they're doing a terrible job. If they checked with any person on the street, I guarantee that you know, 8-1 or 80%, 70% on the low side are opposed to them having left. You know, I mean, they're trying very, very hard to make the spin, and certainly the mainstream media is helping them. I mean, the mainstream media keeps repeating everything they say, but they don't counter it and with the facts, which is very, very frustrating to me. It is very, very obvious that these folks, again, are making emotional arguments when the reality is something different.
Oh, absolutely. And to hear some of their arguments, you know, that they're saving the Constitution and that they're saving the world and that they're saving my right to vote, you know, it's a little bit, as you say, over the top. And I think that's hurting them. The problem, see, the way I see it, George, is that there's three kinds of people. You and I have seen this long enough to know that there's three kinds of political groups in the country. First, you have Republicans like you and me, and then you have Democrats like some of these people. And then there's a bunch of people in the middle who really don't get that hung up on politics. They sort of go, you know, they go with the personality maybe, they go with the issues, but they're sort of no nonsense when it comes to politics. They can smell a political fraud when they see one. And I think a lot of those people in the middle are looking at this and they're saying, okay, you did it a month ago. You left, you know, you left Austin a month ago. Now he's called a new session. Now you leave again. You know, why didn't you just come back and do your job and then worry about maybe running or winning elections later? But I think they're frustrated, George. That's my sense. I think that, you know, I was listening to a Democrat today talk about the situation, and it sounds to me like a desperate and frustrated person. They're frustrated because, you know, they've lost McAllen, Texas. They had a horrible day at the special election for District 6. They lost Fort Worth and Arlington up here in our area. They don't seem to be picking up any speed. There are now more and more articles coming out saying that Hispanics and Democrats are maybe not on the same page. And I think they're frustrated because they know that they're going to get their butt kicked in 2022, particularly, George, after redistricting. Look, any Democrat who was elected or reelected in 2020 with 53% of the vote or less has got to be panicking, because they can make up those 2 or 3 points with simple redistricting or simply if you have a red wave, as I'm expecting. So, I mean, they're just getting a little desperate, George.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Again, the you know, there have been so many bad political mistakes made here in Texas, the border being the worst one, the border, the optics of the border. And that is affecting the deep South Texas Democrat stronghold. If they don't recognize that, you know, I mean, I can see, you know, to a certain extent, that in the black community, the black Democrats are going to be hanging in there, and they can hang tough and scream and yell. But even they are having a difficult time as they have to backtrack on the anti-police rhetoric. So either way you look at it, these folks are, you know, the games that they have played are backfiring on them. This latest situation of them leaving the state just so that they can't lose, and they're going to lose anyway, it shows extreme disrespect for the election process, because Republicans won the election, a free election, so therefore they are in the majority, but it shows a deep, a tremendous disrespect there. It shows a tremendous disrespect for their own districts or their own constituents because they have left. They're not doing their job. What are they getting paid for?
Right. Now, you raised a good question or a good point there, George, about being paid. Who is, to your knowledge, I don't know the answer. I was listening to a Democrat today on television because he got the question as to who was paying for it. And he said, well, I'm paying for it out of my own pocket type of deal, which I have no way of
saying.
I mean, I have no way of knowing whether he's lying or not. But if I went to Washington, D.C., this is my gut feeling. I want to get your impression, George, but this is my gut feeling. If these guys went to Washington, D.C., out of their own pocket, they wouldn't be staying in a four-star hotel. They'd be staying at a lot of motels around Washington, D.C., and they would be eating at some of the fast food places and saving their money. The way they're living, either these guys have a lot of money to spend or somebody's picking up the tab, George. That's just my impression. What's yours?
No, definitely. Somebody's paying for them. They you know, for them to say that they're paying for it themselves, that's hyperbole, lying. You know, I'm trying to say something nice without being very, very blunt on this matter. I'm sorry. It just can't be. And what is happening, what I am seeing happening, is that, again, by saying that they're paying for it, they are misleading the folks. They are appearing to give a false narrative, and that's going to blow up on their face as well.
Well, again, you're right. I mean, but if somebody is,
but they are being still paid,
right?
You know, regardless of who's paying for what they're for their per diem,
sure,
they are being paid to work,
right?
That's the worst part of the whole thing.
But okay, but as far as who's paying for them, are there some restrictions? As to who, I mean, I just kind of get the feeling, I don't know, I just kind of get the feeling that something doesn't smell good when somebody's paying for you to do all these things.
Well, again, my understanding is that they're paying for it out of their election allotment, and that they are paying for it out of their, I'm not sure, you know, slush funds that they've got. That's the bottom line. But, you know, they are paying for it like that, or they are getting paid by lobbyists. They're getting paid by lobbyists, which I think is truly what is happening. They are being paid by lobbyists, and those lobbyists are named ACLU and AFL-CIO. That's who's paying for them as well.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think that this is playing well for them politically, which is the bottom line. I mean, if you're an elected official, at some point you got to look at as I like to call the needle, you know, the needle that tells you where you are, and I don't see the needle moving in their direction, George. In other words, I see the needle moving away from them because I think a lot of people look at this and they go, okay, you left the first time, now you leave again. Okay, what's your point? Okay, why don't you just get back, vote, and if you want to do something about it in the future, well, win elections, and you'll be able to change the law or go back to the next session and do it.
It's political theater. That's what all it is. It's political theater.
No, I understand, and you, I agree with you 100%, but, you know, it's like it may be political theater, but if it's not working, it's actually counterproductive. I mean, I really think – short of a few people who are very much on their side, I mean, the partisans maybe support them, but there's a bunch of people. You take Republicans plus the independents who I think are being turned off by this, and I think this is a net negative for them, George.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Well,
definitely.
We're not going to be able to do to talk about Facebook today, or not Facebook itself, but some of the social media keeping track of our posts,
lives.
Yes, and so
our
that's, spot. Yeah, somebody keeping track of us, George, I didn't know that. But anyway, apparently there's a little controversy there with the Biden administration. So maybe we can pick that up the next time. Anything out of the border, George, that you want to share with us today? I heard that the number in June was 190,000. Amazing.
Yeah. The number is 189,000 just for the month. And, it's outrageous. It is ridiculous. There was another group of politicians, of elected officials from various states like Ohio, like Iowa, like Virginia, that were at the border today, and they were in shock from what they saw. They were just in shock.
Yeah.
And again, you know, many of the reporters asked them, well, why are you here? They said, well, because these people are arriving in our neighborhoods now.
Well, that's the point. Very good point.
They're in the neighborhoods of, you know, in Iowa and in Ohio and in Virginia. And, there's no stopping it. There's nothing stopping it.
That's right. And that's a very good point, because that is the what makes it a national problem. It's no longer a border problem. It's no longer the concern of the congressional district on the border. It's now the concern of a congressional district in Iowa, 1,000 miles away, and they're getting these people and they're saying, what is this? Where are these people coming from? Why are they coming here? And I think that's another reason why I think the Biden administration is blowing up so many bridges of communication with the legislators, because they're not telling people the truth. They're just doing things behind their back. I mean, the governor of Iowa recently said, they're showing up in airplanes. They don't even tell me. They're just showing up in Iowa, and they don't tell me. So, you know, it's creating a lot of bad will, I think, with a lot of legislators, not just in Congress, but around the country and so on. George, have a great weekend. And thank you, as always, for your time. And congratulations on the work that you do down there. What's your next speech?
Next one is going to be in 2 weeks. It's going to be on Tuesday. Let me make sure that I've got it. It's going to be on Tuesday the 26th, and it's going to be in Houston, Texas.
All right. One of these days you got to come to Dallas so we can have breakfast again like we did that last time.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Our friend George Rodriguez, always very informative and always a lot of fun to talk to George. But clearly these Democrats, I think, made a big mistake by leaving the area. No question about it. They
stay where they are.
That's right. That's right. All right, George, good night, and we'll talk to you later.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, they made a big mistake. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you later.